If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
A lot of serious news today.
Yes, we do.
Serious and sad and
great deal going on.
Stories.
Yeah, great deal going on here, considering what happened in Minnesota yesterday.
Hey, is that the craziest story that you've ever heard?
It's right up there with it, yeah. Considering that and also, you know, protests and so forth going on nationwide, there's been a lot to follow this weekend.
There's so much going on.
Yeah, a lot to follow. They are still looking for this person. There was a report that police encountered him as he was leaving one of the homes where he shot the lawmakers yesterday. Gunfire was exchanged, and apparently he was wounded, but he was able to escape, and they haven't seen him since. Mm. So,
really weird. Some really, like 10 times yesterday. You know, I'm listening to the news, watching the news. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What did they just say? What?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And $50,000 reward being offered for this this person as well. So definitely following that story and other things going on around the country today.
I have nothing today.
You what now?
I have nothing that serious today.
Oh, you don't have anything that serious today.
That's good.
You know what? This is my big conflict this morning. This is what weighed heavily on my shoulders this morning. You know, when you walk into the WGN palatial offices,
mm-hmm.
the first thing you see is that big bowl of hard candy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw I did the same thing when I walked in this morning.
I walked by, and it was like a cartoon. My feet kept walking, but the top of me stopped to look. And I was like, ooh, butterscotch.
Yeah.
I like the butterscotch hard candy.
Well, if you...
But then, wait, hold it.
Okay.
Hold your horses.
There's more.
Then I saw the root beer barrel hard candy.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh!
Are there still any left, or did you get them all?
Oh, no, there's plenty left.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
I'll beat you down there, Andy.
Yeah, I only took one or two, but that's... Well, you're dealing with all these serious stories.
You were enjoying the hard candy in the...
right here, I got one root beer and one butterscotch. I have not joined them yet. I have enjoyed them yet.
I should let you know but also.
If you hear me interviewing somebody and I'm going.
You
don't know what I'm doing, but that's, that's the extent of my conflict this morning.
Well, you should also be aware that if you are in the mood for more. Sugar.
I'm not.
There is cake in the refrigerator.
And some really good cake,
by the way. Good cake.
What kind of cake?
It's from Roser's.
Oh, Roser's?
It's like 17 layers.
With strawberries. And it was in Lou and Lindsay honored Bob Ferguson because it's that 35th anniversary here at WGN.
Engineer Bob Ferguson.
Engineer Bob. 35 years here at WGN.
You know, if it wasn't for Engineer Bob, this show would never get on the air.
No show would get on the air.
No. I don't know about the other shows, but I know how inept we are.
And yet we still get on the air
and
every
somehow. Yeah, so I guess you could either thank or blame Bob for what's going on. Country singer Tyler Wood and his song called Dad. Get it?
Got it.
It's Father's Day. A spirit lifter, happy Father's Day, everyone. Celebrating today. I had the lady at the Dunkin' Donuts wish me happy Father's Day today.
That's nice.
Told her I appreciate it. I didn't tell her that I was not a father. Kind of spoils it.
Yeah. The sentiment gets ruined.
I took out my fake wallet of fake pictures.
The ones that came with the wallet?
Yeah. Yeah, look, here's Dean Jr. And little Dina. And Deanette. I've named all the children after me. Yeah, happy Father's Day to everybody. This is the show. I don't know why the Father's Day really hits me emotionally. I think I may cry by the end of the show. I may need a supportive hug by 1 o'clock today.
That was a good intro, though. I have to tell you, I had not heard that song before. I was getting into it, and then you stepped on the vocals. So,
you want me to play the whole song?
Play the whole song if you can. Yeah,
you're gonna pay for the rights?
No.
All right, okay. Shut up then. You got the cash. I'll play the song. Otherwise, I don't need any extra.
No, the lyrics
from
were very. Lyrics were very fitting. That was really a great tribute.
Well, we put a lot of thought into putting
carried
the
load
together.
So we could have a good life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think about that. I think about that with my dad
all the time.
Yeah.
And all the time.
And you certainly must.
All the time. Every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I might cry now. Didn't expect to be crying before 9:15, but
well, it isn't. It's after. It's 9:17.
Oh, now. I missed it by
17 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Maybe I'll have a good cry every quarter hour of the show today. Just really get it out of my system. Yeah, Schwani's dad, Andy, you'll agree with this as well. One of the best guys. That's
awesome,
was.
Dude.
Yeah.
Great guy.
3 years now he's been gone.
I got to say, Andy's dad, quite a gentleman also.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought, I want to mention this, and I was going to try and bring this up during the program today also, because it was going on about 4 years now.
Yeah, almost
where Andy's father insisted, we need to get together, the four of us. Yeah. Father and son lunch, which we did. We met at Hackney's on Lake Avenue in Glenview.
Oh, very nice.
And I have to tell you, I am forever.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
You can't walk in there without having that.
The onion loaf and the burgers.
The onion loaf.
But I am so very, very happy that he really pushed for that, because that was the last Father's Day.
Yeah.
My dad's
a little persistent about those things, and
I'm glad he was.
Yeah, he was very
such a good guy.
Yeah.
Your dad is such a good guy, which is why I was surprised when you guys were putting this lunch together. He called me, and he said, "Is there some way that we can get Schwani? We would like Mr. Schwan to show up, but is there some way that we can bump Schwani out of the deal?"
Well, as I recall, you were invited also, and you just kind of...
I was very busy
You just didn't show.
Yeah.
You just weren't there. We were standing in the lobby waiting for you.
I have a personal appearance fee that I charge.
My dad, the CPA, tried to negotiate it, but it was going nowhere.
It didn't work out that day. No, Andy's dad is a great guy, and
a happy Father's Day to your dad.
Yes, indeedy. And nothing but, you know, I think this is the nicest tribute. You know, I'm sad my dad's been gone since maybe 90, I forget the year exactly, maybe 96, something like that, long time. But I've what I've done is replace whatever sadness that I may feel with happy moments that we had, you know, great things that we've done, celebrating the life of the person and, you know, all the great things that they did. So I'm trying to have as many happy memories as I can.
That's a big help. That goes a long way.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, nothing but smiles on my face when I think of Mr. Paul Schwan.
Well, thank you.
Except
thanks
for the
so
time
much,
that he was hitting on my mom. Yeah,
that's right.
That was a little creepy. Hey, good looking.
You know, but it was nice.
I see you made some yogurt there.
It was really great for you to have our parents on at various Mother's Day. Yeah. I think he had your mom on, Andy. And
we've had all the parents on.
You know, my dad, your dad, you know, that was really great to get him on the phone. And, of course, you were trying to embarrass us, but
of course
that was to be expected.
Who? I was?
You, yeah.
What do you mean?
You were trying to embarrass us by having them, tell stories.
Humorous
that,
anecdotes. Uh-huh. Adorable.
Where we may have gotten in trouble.
Yeah. Arrested.
No, not arrested. Not that far, but got in trouble. Familial trouble.
Where the cops had to restrain him. If people only really knew about you. People do the other side.
Are you talking to me or Andy?
That's going to be my the book that I write, The Other Side of Schwannie. That book is going to come out someday. And
you're going to find a picture of me with a menacing look on my face, right?
I've got plenty of pictures for the... Don't you worry, my friend. I've got plenty of pictures of you. So anyway, we, fondly remember our dads. Facebook is, filling up with people remembering their dads who are both with us and dads who are no longer with us. So, all I can say is, I try to think when I start to feel sad, I think of the millions of times that my dad was, when we were kids, he used to take us to the Museum of Science and Industry all the time. All the time. Like maybe every weekend he would take us. And the poor guy would just like stand around. He couldn't have been. He had to be so bored. He never said that he was. But it would be us and all of our friends piled into his car. And he would, like, sort of watch all the kids, hold all the goats. It could not have been fun for him. But he gladly did it every time. And we had the best time and wonderful memories. And
How many times did you go in the coal mine and the submarine?
Every time
you were there?
Can't even count. First place that we would go would be the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the baby chickens.
Yeah, that was always great.
Being hatched, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to that automotive, whatever it was called, Motorama. Was it called Motorama?
I think it was Motorama or Motorola-rama.
Yeah. So my brother Bill was all of his life a car fanatic. And, he wanted to spend all his time there. I wanted to go upstairs because I liked walking through that giant heart.
That was fun.
Boom, 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 boom.
They had a special exhibit one time when we were there. We had family coming in to visit, and we came into the museum. And they had an exhibit on mathematics and a new item called computerization in the late 1960s.
How'd that work out?
Well, Dad thought it was great because that's what he did for a living, math and chemistry. And so he thought that was terrific. But, yeah, I wanted to see the submarine and the farm.
Nothing but fun. And my poor dad. My poor dad tracked. I would not have had the patience that he did. Because, there were four brothers and at least four friends of the brothers, often more. And we just ran around like we were, crazy. Pushing buttons and levers and all that. And I suppose if he left with the same number of kids that he showed up with.
The day was a success.
That's really, all that mattered.
It didn't really matter if it was the right kids or not. But
I left with 10. I'm bringing home 10.
So many things like that that I have wonderful memories. So anyway, happy Father's Day to everyone. We have producer Ashley is working the show today because we're going through a transitional time with producers on the show. We've had several people who were set to work with us on the show, and then they meet Schwannie.
I knew it.
And suddenly they no longer want to work on the show anymore.
I knew it.
Ashley is filling in today, and it's her birthday today.
Happy birthday,
Hey,
Ash.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys.
Happy birthday. You doing anything special for your birthday today?
No. This. You. Hanging out with you.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Hey, there's some cake in their fridge.
Yeah.
We
got it just
finish
for your
the
birthday.
Cake.
Scrape off the part that says happy anniversary, Bob, and we'll pretend like we got it just for you. And speaking of, by the way, engineer Bob Ferguson, you said, celebrating
35 years.
Anniversary.
35 years here at WGN, yes.
Pretty impressive. He started working here as he was 5 years old.
Yeah, that's... See if I still remember how to work the phone.
Who are you calling?
Apparently I don't.
Apparently not.
You know what? I don't think I have to dial 9 on that line, right?
Wait a second. Hang on. Who are you calling?
Keep your shirt on. Yeah, I dialed one. 312 area code, right? That's stupid hand. Let me try a different line.
Oh, this is wonderful. Listen to touch tones all morning.
Well, now I'm trying to cling to find out
who's calling. Find out who it is, yeah.
Did I what? Click go? Oh, go. I got to hit go? I never do that. You know, this could wind up being the most interesting part of the whole show today, so.
Engineering.
Is this Bob Ferguson?
This is he.
Dean Richards, WGN Chicago calling you. We're on the air, by the way. No swearing.
That was you trying to call me. You know, I could have just walked in the other room. Yeah. It's only about 10 feet away.
I thought this would be more fun.
Yeah, this is more authentic.
A phone call across the hall.
I thought if I could burn 4 or 5 minutes trying to figure out how to use the phone. That
it was in the script, trust me.
I'm here celebrating Ashley's birthday.
It's Ashley's birthday, but Bob.
And you're in? Yes.
35 years here at the Big 720.
Can you believe that? I think I was 14 when I started here.
For you.
I hope I was.
I just want to say happy anniversary to you and how much we appreciate you and love you. And Bob's one of the best guys that there is. And as I said at the beginning of the show, you may not have been listening because I know once the union show is over at 9 o'clock, you pretty much turn the headphones off. That I said, you know, this show wouldn't get on the air every week without you.
It barely gets on the air with me.
Well, even still, it makes it on the air. So we wanted to acknowledge you and thank you. And, you know, we got a cake specially for you. We put it in the refrigerator.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm going to go take a look.
Yeah, take
thank
a look.
You, Dino.
Did you
make it?
Did you bake it? Well, we made it look like somebody else got the cake and ate part of it. But this was strictly from Andy Schwani and I.
Oh, thank you, Dean. I appreciate that. That's like, very considerate.
It's like buying jeans with holes in them already.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's a big morning around here on Sunday today. Bob Ferguson.
How exciting.
35 years. Congratulations, my friend. You are truly the best.
Thank you, Dino. I appreciate that.
We continue with our weekend health feature, and we wish a happy Sunday and happy Father's Day to Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Hope you're having a great Dad's Day so far, Doc.
Hey, Dean, thanks. And shout out to my dad, who's the reason I got into medicine to begin with. So thank you.
Oh, fantastic. That's so nice. So being a doctor on Father's Day, does that mean that, you know, your kids can't, you know, they have to live in a plastic bubble or, you know, they get extra attention? What does that mean exactly?
That means if anybody's bleeding, if anybody's lying on the ground, it's up to their mother to sort that out. I'm off duty.
Yeah, not punched in right now. I wondered if it was, you know, like the carpenter's house is always in need of repair. The painter's house is always in need of another coat. I wondered if that was the case. So related to that, though, because it's Father's Day, I thought today we should talk about medical issues that dads should be aware of. I think I read someplace that heart disease is the number one concern. Not only just for fathers, but I think for both men and women. But it's definitely something that fathers should pay some attention to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's what could be more important than your heart? It's the number one cause of death for men. and it represents a fifth of all male deaths in the United States. So that's, you know, that's significant. And so you got to take care of your heart, you know, both both physically and also in terms of, you know, just in terms of your well-being. It's really important. And there are so many things that you can do, even in spite of risk factors, to improve your heart health. And, you know, the biggest thing is is do what you love. Find something that you enjoy doing and try and reduce stress, because that, to me, that's the great unknown, although we do know that stress plays a huge role in inflammation in the body. And so that would be my number one advice. I know it's not easy, and I'm not saying that it is, but pursue that above all else.
Well, I always think about what my doctor tells me. You know, definitely, you know, eat better and exercise more. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, my schedule, blah, blah, blah. He goes, really, Mr. Big Shot, you don't have 20 minutes? You don't have 20 minutes to spare to get on a treadmill or, you know, take a walk around the neighborhood, something, 20 minutes? And put that way with, you know, a generous layer of guilt on it. You do have to give that a little bit of extra thought.
Well, and it's and again, even if you only have 10 minutes for a quick high intensity workout, either a rapid walk around the block or even going up and down the stairs in your house, if you can't, you know, find a way to break away, it's really important, and it can help prolong your life.
What about diet with relation to heart health? What are the best tips that people can follow for dad today? I would imagine that a lot of people today are going to be out on the grill. They're going to be putting some big old delicious steaks on the grill. Those are not necessarily the most healthy things in the world that you could be feeding your father, right?
Beans, you're laying guilt on to me because
was that
I
your plan for today?
Steak in the fridge.
Yeah, that was your plan for today. All right.
Well, that was my plan. I'm scrapping it, though. I'm gonna go get a piece of salmon. No, I think you know everything in moderation. But you're right. You're right that the Mediterranean style diet has consistently been linked to lower heart attack risk and lower stroke risk, and that just means leafy greens and berries, nuts and whole grains and fatty fish like, as I mentioned, salmon or even sardines, that is the pathway in general to lower inflammation and longer living from a dietary perspective.
All right, Dads, you're in for a treat with the big sardine feast that's coming today. How about one of the obvious ones, prostate cancer? How should men be looking out to make sure that they are free of that?
Yeah, so second most common cancer in men after skin cancer, interestingly.
Really?
Yes. But also, you know, if you're going to have a cancer, prostate cancer is certainly one of the cancers that tends to be more survivable. But the screening is the key. And it depends on your risk. And so those men who have had prostate cancer in the family in a relative under 65, or African American men, and specifically are higher risk. Those folks should start getting screened at the age of 40, and then after that, you know, from 45 onward, really 50 is kind of the cutoff. Talk to your doctor about, you know, what they want to do, and it can be the invasive type with the, you know, I'm going to put my glove on and check. But there's also blood tests. The PSA is very well known, although it's a squirrely test because it can be elevated for a variety of reasons. But really the key is get in and see your doctor. In terms of diet, Dean, they do say that try to reduce the red meat to lower your risk of prostate cancer. Not a huge link, but a light link. And so, you know, look, anything we can have control over is something that can go in the toolkit. So I mentioned right.
Yeah, that's another thing that my doctor had said to me. There are so many things over which we do not have control. Genetics, you know, if you have, you know, your parents or other relatives who have had heart disease or cancer or diabetes or whatever, you may be at risk for those, and there's nothing you can do about that. But there are plenty of things that you can do to have a longer life. And, you know, those are the things. Hate to nag you, everybody, but, you know, these are some of the things you want to be around your families, I hope, and your families want you to be around. So, you know, why not take a few steps to be as healthy as possible? That's really the nicest Father's Day gift that you can give or receive today, it seems to me.
I think so. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, if you're a dad, obviously you have offspring, and whether they're young boys who are going to be hopefully dads one day themselves, or young girls who may be moms one day, you want to set the be the role model and set them on a path to health. And so, you know, I give my dad a lot of credit. He's very, very health conscious and focused on these things, and he's, I think, passed along some good habits to me. So maybe the best gift you can give your kid is the gift of healthy habits.
407 area code says, how important is it to not only know your dad's medical history, but also your mom's, and pass that information on to kids? It's not a terrible idea to sit down and write all that stuff down, is it?
Oh, it's so important, particularly because your mother had a father and a brother when we're talking about men's health, but just in health in general. You know, there may be a condition that you're not aware of that you're at risk for, and you can actually do something about. That's the power, is that you know that there's something in the family that you want to be watching for, then you can look for it. If you don't know, you can't act.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more. Dr. Jeremy Silver from Kishwaukee Hospital, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital, 312-981-7200. If you've got a question or comment, Dr. Jeremy Silver, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital, on the line with the Weekend Health. And joining us from Moreland Park is Janice. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So my question is, in general, it's about Lyme disease, but I'm calling, and I know the doctor is not a veterinarian, but my dog contracted Lyme disease, and it's I've never known about this disease before, but I'm realizing it's horrific. But I am hearing it's on the uprise also for people. So I'm just was wondering what he had, any information on this, because this is the first time I'm dealing with Lyme disease.
What can you tell us about that, Dr. Silver? About you know, bugs, ticks. Now that the weather is getting much nicer and we're outside more often, what kinds of things should we beware of?
Great question, and thanks for it. In terms of dogs, what I understand, so first of all, Lyme disease is a tick-borne illness, it's basically a tiny little type of microbe that the tick carries around that can get inside your body and cause a lot of problems in your joints, and it can even lead to heart problems and really debilitating disease, chronic pain. From my understanding, dogs actually do well with the antibiotics, which incidentally I believe are the same antibiotics that humans get. So I hope that your dog does okay. I love dogs. I will say that you know, the key for Lyme disease, it's everywhere, and by the way, it's not the only tick that we're seeing now in Illinois. There's a whole variety of ticks that initially, you know, 20 years ago maybe we'd see, you know, down in the southern parts of North and South America, and now they're moving steadily north. And so the key is prevention. So these critters like to hang out where there are deer, and specifically. High risk areas like tall grass, or even if you go golfing, you know, they can be seen on a golf course. And so the key is, you know, they recommend socks over your pants and really long sleeve clothing, and then surveillance. So if you go for a hike with your kids and you come home at the end of the day, throw them in the bath and look them over completely naked. And really do the same for yourself. And if you have a significant other, help each other out. Particularly in the summer months when it's nice and warm. I know it sounds neurotic and maybe a little crazy, but if you can pull the tick off within the first 24 hours, the risk of illness is almost zero.
Yeah. In future weeks, let's get into talking about mosquitoes and West Nile and things like that, because, you know, that's on the uprise with, you know, people being outside so much these days. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Happy Father's Day again. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Dean, thank you. Have a great day.
In honor of Father's Day, I'm trying to work in expressions that my father always said.
Yes.
During the program today.
Yes.
Did your dad have those
also? Yes, he did. Yeah, he did.
Well, good night, Irene.
I remember you always bringing that one up. That's yeah.
But no, where he got that. Something would happen. Well, good night, Irene.
That was rather popular for people of that generation, though. I had heard that expression from others in that age group.
Was that a song or something?
I think it might have been a song, or maybe it was in a movie or a show of some sort where, you know, they had that type of expression.
I might use that on my next basketball broadcast. If you know.
That would be a good one.
That would be great.
Good. You know, somebody good night, gets, Irene.
You know, a big 3-point shot.
That would be a fantastic honor.
Good night, dad. Irene.
I'll have to do that.
How about you, Andy? Did your dad have a...
Yeah, he's the king of dad jokes, my dad. you know, whenever he would call on the phone and he would want to know where you were, he would go, where you at? Where you at?
Where you at?
Where you at?
Where you at?
Where you at?
Yeah.
Where you at? Yeah. How about Mr. Schwann, Mr. Paul Schwann?
Well, he did have, there's one, I don't know where this came from either, but, you know, in the course of conversation these days, if someone said something to you that would take you by surprise, or you were rather shocked to hear whatever it may be, you know, these days we'll go, what? Or something like that, or you're kidding. But Dad would say this, gee, Minnetley.
What, say that again?
G-Minnetley.
G-Minnetley.
Yeah, and I don't know where that came. I just remembered that when you were talking about...
G-Minnetley.
When you were talking about expressions like goodnight, Irene, or...
I want to work that into the show as many times as possible.
I don't know. I have no idea where that came from, but I remember hearing that when I was a kid.
Yeah, my dad was big on goodnight, Irene.
Goodnight, Irene.
And God Bless America.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Super, super patriot. But I've talked about this before. He had a big crush on Kate Smith. Don't ask me why.
Okay.
Well, there's the reference to God Bless America.
Well, that's
right
what
there.
I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yep.
I think he liked a full-figured girl.
She was synonymous she with was, that song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt loved her, too.
Who didn't?
Yeah.
I have a little crush on her.
Well, you know, you and I are of a certain age, although I will be quick to point out that you're older than I am. But both of us would remember a variety.
I mentioned how much I hate you. That's going to be when they go back and say, what did Dean always used to say? How much he hated you.
there was a variety show called the Hollywood Palace.
Oh, yeah.
And they would have rotating hosts.
Yes.
One of them was Kate Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She was on, let's see. Oh, trying to come up with the dancer here. Fred Astaire was a guest on one time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Bing Crosby, you know, people of that era would host that show. But one of them would be Kate Smith. I remember her being on there. Jimmy Durante.
Oh, yeah.
Was on also.
Well, good night, Irene.
Oh, walk down memory lane here.
I might start using that today.
According to the Google machine, the phrase good night, Irene became popular. It's an old pop culture reference to a blues song called Good Night, Irene.
Who did it?
Leadbelly.
Oh, Leadbetter. Yeah, Leadbelly, sure.
Leadbelly Leadbetter. One of the most influential musicians of the 20th century.
Okay.
Which I can't imagine my father being.
Being a blues, yeah, right.
Because his favorite song, aside from God Bless America with his girlfriend, Kate Smith, was Red River Valley. Do you ever hear that song?
Sure. Well, I hear that you're leaving this valley. Do not hasten to bid me adieu.
Yeah. Just remember the Red River Valley. And good night, Irene. I love Keith Smith, too.
You.
What? That'll do it. What?
Dean Richards, WGN.
A bunch of listeners remembered the song Goodnight Irene, done by the group called The Weavers.
Oh, The Weavers, a great folk music group in the 50s.
Yeah.
And I think Pete Seeger was involved with them for a time.
Really?
Yeah.
So many texts on this, because on this show, we don't talk about tariffs. We don't talk about things that actually affect you. We, you know, talk about the crazy
inflation, Social Security.
Yeah, yeah. We talk about silly things on this show. 708 area code. The song "Goodnight Irene" is a famous vaudeville song often sung by barbershop quartets.
Hmm.
The Weavers had a hit with the song. That's the one that we're listening to right now.
You know, you just made me think of something else since we're talking about Goodnight Irene. Mm. A favorite expression of my mother's when she would be frustrated would just be, "Good night.
Good night.
Good night."
Oh, yeah.
And I think my grandmother said that also.
Yeah, and that was the equivalent of swearing back then.
It was. It, yes.
Yeah, if you made your mom so mad that she would say something like, "Good night."
Yeah. Yeah, and the tone of the voice.
Yeah, you may as well have murdered somebody.
So,
how about that though? Look at that. All these things. I mean, the phone lines went nuts
with "Goodnight Irene."
Well, "Goodnight Irene," but mostly things that fathers always.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes.
How about this? And I remember hearing this from my friends' parents all the time. "Cry my knee."
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I had, you know what? My friend's dad said that.
Criminy
sakes, they'd say.
Right.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, a kind of a variation of "for crying out loud."
Oh, maybe.
You know? Something like that.
Maybe, maybe. To Dave. Oh, here's a text to Dave Schwann. May I share this on the air?
Well.
To Dave Schwann, my parents both used the expression "gmantly."
Yeah, Sam, very similar.
I can hear each of them saying it.
Yeah.
When one,
I can hear my dad saying it, too.
When one was annoyed by the other.
The other.
Mm. 847, my dad would say, "Here's 40 cents, go play on the tollway."
Oh, yeah. Go play in traffic was another good one, yeah.
Go play in traffic. Yeah. Right. These are hilarious. And instantly bring back, you know, such memories, right? When you hear...
And warm memories. Fond memories, sure. When you hear the words like that that nobody uses anymore.
630 area code. My dad would always say, "There's no insurance for stupidity."
Well, it's true.
Think about it.
It's true.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why we're where we are?
630 area code. My dad would always use the expression, "Hey now." Hey now. Was he on the Larry Sanders show?
On the Larry Sanders show.
Hey now.
Yes.
The sidekick, like Ed McMahon, was with Larry Sanders. Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey now. Oh, here's another good one that a lot of parents said. "For cripe's sake."
Oh, yeah. Yep.
What does that mean? What is a cripe?
Well, it was just getting around.
Is that saying Christ?
Getting around something. Yeah, to get around that so it wouldn't be.
So it wouldn't be sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious, yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Here's 847. My dad would always say, "For cripe's sake, your room looks like Fibber McGee's closet." Go explain that to some 20-year-old right now.
Okay, the reference there is the Fibber McGee closet was a bit on the old Fibber McGee and Molly radio show.
That was an old-time radio show.
And, you know, they'd try to find something, and every once in a while, you know, Fibber McGee would say, "Well, I'm going to go hunt for it in the closet." And Molly was like, yeah. "Don't open the door!"
You hear the door creak open, sir. And then
everything comes out. And it was great theater of the mind because you heard this crash, boom, bang, and all, right. You know, your mind would automatically come up with what's falling here, you know.
Love that. My dad, here, 708 area code, my dad would use expressions in Yiddish.
Oh, these should be good.
I don't even know. Should I'm going to, he's written it out here, but I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce it correctly. Hakmir Nich Kai Shinik.
Oh, that's a little too advanced for me.
It means, thank you for the translation, don't beat my tea kettle.
Okay.
Don't beat my tea kettle in Yiddish. Oh, on top of it. I'll fix your clock. This is very thoughtful.
Yeah.
If you have a broken clock. 815 area code. Use your head for more than a hat rack. Uh, 708 area code. You're going to send me to the poor farm. Oh, we heard about the poor farm.
The poor farm or the poor house. Yeah.
Yeah, we heard, heard that all the time. And I have to slightly modify this of something else my dad would say all the time when we would leave the lights on. Turn those lights off. I don't blank money.
If I was, you know, told that I was wasting money or something like that, or throwing something away very carelessly, yeah. I would hear, that's like throwing money down the drain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, our parents growing up in the Depression, you saved everything you had.
Of course. Of course.
I just remember another one of my dad's. I don't know why he would end conversations saying, right when you get work.
Oh, yeah. Hang by your thumbs and right when you get
work. Right when you get work.
I love that. I love dad expressions.
What are you talking about?
I'm loving this. Here. This is a variation on my dad's turn off the light switch. 630 area code. Close the door. We're not air conditioning the whole neighborhood.
There you go.
Right.
These are fantastic.
Money doesn't grow on trees.
Oh, let's go here. Hang on 1 second. Steve's in Indiana. You're on WGN. Happy Father's Day, Steve.
Same to you. My dad used to say most of those things, but usually there were some curse words thrown in there.
Yeah.
And we didn't have air conditioning, but we're not heating the neighborhood.
Right, right. You got to keep the door closed so the heat doesn't get out.
I've got a question for Andy, but first, I can tie in Spokane, Washington with the Museum of Science and Industry.
Really?
I was thinking you guys were talking about Museum of Science and Industry.
Right.
I'm thinking about, you know, all the times I went there. And then you guys bring up Spokane, Washington.
Right.
In like 75 or 76, my aunt and my cousins came back this way to visit for a couple weeks in the summer. And so we took them to the Museum of Science and Industry. And they had a special exhibit there with the Soviet space program. I believe it was Soyuz or something was
Soyuz,
going on.
And, Soyuz, yeah the Soyuz rockets, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I think the Americans went into the space station with them or something, you know, but it was a big deal back in that day. So anyways, we go to the Museum of Science and Industry. My aunt was a very well-endowed woman. She was a Polish woman from Michigan City, but anyways... They had there's like four or five Russian guys there, you know, at the exhibit, and one of them was a cosmonaut, and the other ones were scientists and all this stuff, and they're all, you know, happy. They're probably all drunk, but anyways, they had all these like friendship pins, you know what I mean, or Soviet and American flag, and you know, and all this other stuff, and she was very popular with those guys, you know, they were just giving her pins. I mean, she looked like a Russian, you know, general or something by the time she was done.
Look at, you know? Look at American woman. Let us put pins.
Let me give you pin.
Let me put pin on your dress.
On your chest, yes.
Oh, I love her. I love America. I love
her. Oh, when they found out she was Polish, oh, they just went nuts over her, you know.
Love
but
that.
But anyways, I got a question for Andy.
Go ahead.
Okay.
What's worse? What's rougher duty?
Okay.
Working with you two guys or working with Hamp and OB after a Bears loss?
Good question.
Well, I don't really need hazard pay for this show, I could use some hazard pay for when the bears don't do very well, and you know, I have to duck from things flying through the air.
Right.
And
I remember one time your dad called in when you first started with him.
Yeah,
he asked if you were okay.
He said, if I asked him, if I was okay. I said, yeah, I haven't fallen out the window yet. It's all good.
I think, I can't speak for Andy, but I think he doesn't have to dress up like a hockey goalie when he does this show.
This is true. I don't need a chair and a whip. I don't need anything like that.
He doesn't need any extra. He doesn't have to wear a cup on this show. That's a whole big difference. I want to hear a couple of more things that dad's always said back in the day.
Yeah.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Yeah, that one. Or Jumping Jiminy.
Jiminy would be one.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
630 area code. My dad would always say, son of a pup.
Oh, okay. You were going somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. 773, is that money burning a hole in your pocket?
Oh, I heard that one every time I'd go to Sears and buy a record.
Buy a record, yeah. Exactly, me too. 847 area code, for Pete's sake, or what in the Sam Hill?
Sam Hill. Yeah. Pete's sake. I don't know where that Sam Hill came from, but I heard that for years, too.
Apparently, according to our text line, dads had naughty mouths back then. There are a few that we can't mention on the air.
I can count the times on one hand I heard, shall we say, inappropriate language from my father.
I don't think I ever heard my father swear, ever.
Really?
Never.
No?
Just didn't. You'd say goodnight, Irene, every five minutes.
Well, that doesn't.
I wish I did hear
it. Every 5 minutes?
Drop a bomb once in a while.
He never called you Woodrow?
Never did. No. Never did. John, you're on WGN.
Good morning. My phrase was something to do. So my dad's favorite phrase, he would look at one of the kids and say, while you're resting, why don't you go... And then he would stick in the chore. So while you're resting, why don't you go clean the gutters? While you're resting, you know. It's an easy thing.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very good. John, thank you for the call. And Mary Jo, from where in Minnesota are you listening, Mary Jo?
I'm west of Minneapolis by about 40 miles.
Nice of you to be listening to us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm from Barrington originally. I've been here 7 years.
Okay.
And I couldn't live without WGN. Aww, I love you guys.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. We appreciate it.
Well, and your show is a very positive, happy way to start the week. I love it.
Nice. Did you hear that, Shawana?
I sure did. Thank you so very much.
It's a very positive.
You're in a beautiful part of the country up there.
I am. Right now, it's very sad because
it is. Please
horrible,
take care.
Horrible news there. So, what would your dad always say?
Well, my dad was an immigrant. He came from Armenia at the age of 16. He had English in grade school, and he said, "Swearing is an indication of having a poor vocabulary."
Yeah, my dad used to say the same thing.
I heard that also. Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody said a bad word, you know, when you use language like that, it only tells everybody what a bad vocabulary you have.
That's right. don't go to that high school.
Yeah. Mary Jo. No, I was just going to say, go ahead, finish, please.
No, they may have a good football team, but...
That's their language.
Yeah.
Mary Jo, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it, and have a great day today.
Well, thank you for being you.
On this gorgeous Sunday morning in Chicago, happy Father's Day. What's going on stage in Chicago? And kind of a unique theatrical offering we're going to tell you about today. First of all, rave reviews and compliments. Sandra Bernhardt did a night of stand-up last night at the Park West, who I've seen several times. I'm a fan of Sandra Bernhardt. Her comedy, I think, is so quirky and clever. And she hasn't been in Chicago since before the pandemic. And last night did her show of, observations on things, you know, that occur to her and things going on, but also songs. A really incredibly entertaining night. Wonderful to see her. She looks good. She's had open heart surgery since the last time she was here in Chicago and seems to be doing really well. Also, I got to mention the great Liz Callaway performed at the Studebaker Theater last night. It's a one-night-only show. Liz Callaway, of course, one of the daughters of the legendary Chicago newsman John Callaway, who had a long career at CBS and a long career at public television, host of Chicago Tonight, one of my true heroes. And his kids, Liz and Ann Callaway, both are incredibly talented performers. And Liz did a night of Sondheim last night at the Studebaker Theater. And she was on our WGN Midday News the other day and sounded fantastic. And I'm sure that show was also great. Also, we had featured on the Midday TV News this past week, two of the stars of Kimberly Akimbo, the Tony Award-winning production that is in Chicago for another week. If you're looking for a big-time Tony Award-winning show to go check out, just go to BroadwayInChicago.com, and you can get some info on that. But I wanted to focus on a production that you can, a classic production that you can enjoy by staying right in your house. It's an online production of Hamlet, which is begun, and it's being put on by Daniel Keary, who you may know as Darren Ritter on NBC's Chicago Fire, and also Jeremy McCarter. They work with the Make Believe Association, Chicago-based company, that is putting on this 10th anniversary production of Hamilton, and now doing Hamlet in this audio drama. And Daniel and Jeremy both join us on the phone line right now to talk about it. Daniel, hello. How are you, sir?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us. And Jeremy, I think you're also there with us as well, correct?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Nice to have you both with us. I'm going to start off with Jeremy, because you actually are one of the co-founders of this Make Believe Association. Explain what this is.
Sure. Make Believe Association is a Chicago-based nonprofit storytelling company. A lot of us come out of theater backgrounds and realized a couple years ago that with everybody suddenly listening to podcasts, we could translate what we all trained to do in theater, use a lot of the same skills about storytelling, performance, sound design, music, and we can create plays that, as you just said, people can listen to and enjoy from wherever they happen to be. So Hamlet right now is on stage in Chicago, sort of, inside your head, in the same way that it's on stage in Tokyo, London, San Francisco, New York City, wherever people listen to podcasts, they can be enjoying our production of Hamlet.
Yeah, it's like a throwback, isn't it, to the golden age of radio when theater of the mind, you know, created the sets and created all the visuals. It's a real throwback and something I'm happy to see is back up and running again.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I take a lot of inspiration from Orson Welles, who I think is sort of the best that's ever done this. Who also loved Shakespeare. And we have one advantage that they didn't have in the old days. We have headphones. Uh-huh. So for our production of Hamlet, the headphones, it sounds like a silly little thing, but it was actually huge for us. The reason why we decided to do Hamlet is because we realized that since most of our listeners wear headphones when they listen to audio drama, we can have the story come at them not from on stage across a room, not from a screen. We can put the story right there on their ears. And with a story like Hamlet, where it's entirely about what's going on inside his mind, we thought, well, this is an opportunity. In 425 years, as far as we can tell, no one has thought to try to tell the story of Hamlet, the version that Shakespeare gave us. We didn't change the story at all. But what would it be like to experience that famous old play exactly the way that Hamlet does? Mm. Could we put the listeners inside Hamlet's head so that it's as though his ears are your ears? And when he is thinking his thoughts and those famous soliloquies from To Be or Not to Be on, those thoughts are happening inside your head. And we were blessed with some brilliant collaborators, Chicago actors, New York actors, our incredible sound designer, Mikhail Fixel, Tony Award winner. And the results are now out. I mean, people can listen, and it's at hamlet.fm. You can go check it out, and you know, then let us know. Is it Hamlet the way you remember Hamlet, or is there some new angle in because of the way we came at it? And above all, Daniel Kyre's incredible performance in the lead role.
Yeah, so Daniel, talk to us about this a little bit. I mean, I guess this is sort of every actor's dream, isn't it, to play Hamlet?
I think so. I think it's certainly on, you know, every actor's list of great, challenging roles to get in a chance to tackle. You know, and for me, this is my second attempt at that challenge. I did a production of it in 2018 in Chicago, which I'm actually pretty positive that Jeremy McCarter saw. And so when he sort of reached out to me this time around to do it in this newer, fresher way, he was like, "You want to do this again?" And I was like, "Okay, I'm getting right back into my roots, and I'm wrestling with Shakespeare's language all over again." But you know, it really is an honor to live inside this guy's head. This is a person whose entire world has been shaken up and changed, and he's trying to figure out his place in it, as well as trying to assert some kind of control over the world around him. And that is sort of the impetus of the journey that we end up following with him.
Do you approach it differently when you're taking on a role like this, which is audio only? Is there a different way of reading the lines, you know, interpreting the lines? Talk to us about that process a little bit.
I think, you know, because it is Shakespeare, there's so much of the work as an actor, or, you know, Jeremy can even speak to this as the adapter and director, but so much of the work is about analysis and, in a way, translation, right? Because this is Shakespeare's text is a different language. You know, because time has moved on, the march of time has progressed such that this language, even though it is more or less English, it is an old English, and there are ways in which folks communicated then that we just simply don't now, or, you know, there are different ways that we communicate now, so vice versa. But for me, it really is the work of analysis, understanding where I am at any given point in the story. I mean, I think the biggest challenge is that we recorded things out of sequence, right? And so in a theatrical production, by the time you get to performance as an actor in the role, you are shot out of a cannon. It's moment to moment. It's beginning to end, and you're on that ride from, you know, the first opening line. And then in this case, for me, the biggest challenge was, okay, I might be doing To Be or Not to Be today, but I might have to jump to, you know, the end of the play tomorrow based on our schedule. And so, you know, I was able to utilize the team around me as my North Star in that way, but the approach is still the same. You get as familiar as you can with the text, you try to understand as much as you can about the character, and then you play.
The production of Hamlet online is available on all podcast streaming platforms, hamilton.fm. More with Jeremy McCarter and Daniel Kyre when we come right back. Sunday morning, WGN, my A-list interview for today. The legendary Arnold Schwarzenegger talks with me about his new series, season 2 of FUBAR, joined by Carrie-Anne Moss of Matrix fame. That's all coming up in our next hour. Right now, though, so happy to have Daniel Kyre from Chicago Fire, who is playing Hamlet in this online version of Hamlet. Jeremy McCarter, the adapter, director, the executive producer, putting all of this together. You both have such an extensive Chicago theater background. What does that mean, Jeremy, to both of you to be basing this out of Chicago?
it's always been an important factor of make-believe associations work. You know, I lived in New York for a long time and was on the artistic staff of the Public Theater. That's where I got to be involved with Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical. I heard you mention Hamilton.fm, Dean. If folks want to listen to our production, yeah. It's at Hamlet.fm.
Hamlet.
That's right.
.fm, right.
And when I got to Chicago, I was bowled over by the caliber of the acting talent and the design talent that I found. And I just thought that if I was going to start a new production company, that it was going to be really important to showcase what I saw on the, you know, the big stages in the Chicago storefronts. And it's always, you know, part of the, you know, in looking for different ways to showcase the voices of Chicago, this one I'm particularly excited about because you get Chicago's best, like Daniel Kyrie, sharing a cast with some of the most acclaimed Shakespearean actors in the world. Sharon Washington, Douglas Thompson, Anna Deavere Smith is in this, Bill Irwin, and actually to mention Hamilton again, David Diggs, who was in the original cast of Hamilton, is in our cast as well.
Yeah, Daniel, for you, I mean, outside of Chicago Fire, I mean, you got quite the extensive Chicago theater background, too, at the Shakespeare Theater, at Looking Glass, at the Goodman. I mean, it goes on and on. Not to mention, you're a native Chicagoan as well, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I was born, raised, and trained in Chicago, Illinois. I've lived there for most of my life, and I've really gotten the opportunity as an actor to cut my teeth on some of the greatest stages in Chicago and some of the most interesting and revolutionizing storefronts in Chicago. You know, yes, having Chicago theater as my foundation is something that I'm eternally grateful for. And so, you know, doing this production of Hamlet, that's all an audio, but doing it in Chicago, you know, recording it in a Chicago studio using Chicago talent as well as the other wonderful talent that Jeremy mentioned before, is something that's just really special because it's a way for me to get back to my roots and hopefully bring, you know, some of the fans that I've amassed elsewhere sort of back and focusing on what Chicago has to offer.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, for how long will this be streaming on Hamlet.fm?
Well, Dean, that's the fun thing about when you make an audio drama podcast. The show never closes. If folks go to Hamlet.fm, you will see links there out to wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, lots of other players. You can click through, and you know, we hope everyone's going to listen to it today. But the good news is you can go on listening to it for, you know, as long as there are podcasts.
Yeah, Jeremy McCarter, Daniel Kyrie, guys, thank you so much. I can't wait to sit down with my headphones and be transported. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you answer a Facebook question for me?
Can try.
You're an expert on most things.
Well, depending. What's the question?
I see you posting pictures of your feet all the time.
Yeah, never, ever done that.
In chaise lounges.
I've never, ever done that.
So, I posted a message on Facebook 5 years ago.
Do you want me to go back 5 years with this?
No, I'm going to tell you.
I know where you're going with this.
I'm telling you. 5 years ago, my brother passed away. My brother Bill passed away.
Yes.
And I posted, you know, sad to announce, blah, 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 my brother passed away, and got tons of very, very sweet responses. And then, you know, after a while, it stops. And then suddenly this week, this sad to announce my brother passed away message is back at the top of my feed, and everybody is responding like it just happened the other day.
Hmm.
How did that get
okay,
back?
Okay, I'm going to defer to Andy on
this
one.
How did that
one
get back on the top of my feed? I appreciate that everyone's very nice and, you know, sending me condolences and everything, but it was 5 years ago.
It's strange because a lot of times with, even with celebrity deaths and things like that, it'll come up. Somebody will, you know, have a post that was from 7 years ago saying XX died, you know, and it comes back up like it was today.
Yeah, like it just happened. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. And I was looking at your original post, and I don't think you tagged anything that would have been appropriate for it to come back today or yesterday, you know?
No, I didn't, but yeah. Sometimes I think if somebody eventually sees it and they respond, does that put it back?
That could.
Like back in your whatever.
Yeah, yeah. If they've seen it from a long time ago and they respond today, it could be, you know, back up because you'll get a prompt saying so-and-so commented on your post.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's taken off like crazy, so.
Yeah, it's a real weird, too, because I'm looking at some of the comments, and some are posted 5 years, some is posted one day, and they're kind of interspersed where right. It's just kind of strange to see
it's weird. I don't understand.
They're listed like that.
I hadn't seen the post in a long time. It's nice to see pictures of my brother again, and both new and we're talking about the Museum of Science and Industry. We have the same picture that every single person that's ever been to the museum has sitting in that old 1920s car.
Oh, yeah. In the, what is it, the yesteryear, the town of yesteryear?
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah. Yeah, we have that.
I always loved that, too.
Yeah, my brother and I, and my dad, holding all the coats, because that's what he did when he went to the museum. But I got to say, I couldn't look more adorable.
Okay, Woodrow.
Woodrow. Why do I suddenly feel like I'm a character on Sanford and Son or something?
Dean Richards on a windy city weekend. WGN.
One of the greatest songs ever recorded. Patsy Cline provides the music.
I knew you'd love me. A
song written by the great Willie Nelson. Her signature song, all in honor of the show that we're going to be going to see at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. They are opening a new show that's called Always Patsy Cline, and we are inviting some listeners to join us for the June 27th performance. Ten winners will each get a pair of tickets to join us for the show. That's like 25 Patsy Cline songs, the story of her personal and professional life. A really interesting story. Amazing, amazing, amazing music. But we have this pre-show reception that we always do for these Dean's Night Out. So we'll get a chance to all meet and talk and so forth, and then we go and see the show and, enjoy. So it should be fun. But here's the thing this time. We're doing something a little different this time. Joining me for this Dean's Night Out is one Mr. Dave Schwann.
And?
Mr. and Mrs. Andy Mazur.
Correct.
Andy and Melina Mazur both will be joining us. So all three of us are going to be, all four of us, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're all going to be there. So you'll be able to meet and greet all of us. You'll all finally get to see what I've been saying for so many years about Schwanny. You'll be able to experience it in person.
I'll let you know about 4:30 if I'll be there.
You have to be there. Now we've said you're going to be there.
And I'm going to bring a name tag for you that says, hello, my name is Woodrow.
Woodrow, yeah.
What's yours?
Yeah, Woodrow.
Woodrow.
But it'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Patsy Cline music? Come on. Can't beat that.
So the show is really, it's a life story type of thing.
Yes.
With Patsy, like kind of like the Beautiful musical was with about Carole King.
Yes.
Which was really centered really largely on her career, but this is Patsy Cline's life and career.
Yeah, I think this may be a little more self-focused, where the Carole King story had other people also telling the story.
Yes.
The life of Carole King. Same with the Neil Diamond play, Beautiful, that focused on his songs and his life, but told through lots of different voices. I think this one is pretty much Patsy Cline telling the story of her life.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Oh, that'll be cool.
I haven't seen it yet. But, this is so exciting. that we're all.
We'll see if you say that the following Sunday.
We're going to retract. We're all going to drive out together, and depending on how the evening goes, we may or may not drive back together.
Correct.
Nor we may or may not be here on Sunday.
Yeah, because this is a big Friday night for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Andy has to be up.
Andy has to. Yep. Andy has to be here the following morning.
Yep. Do you have to be here the following morning?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. So we can really go to town, you and I.
And I can drive.
We can tear up Oakbrook Terrace.
But I am looking forward to this, too, because I haven't been out there in I don't know how long to see a show. So this will be great.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. And, you know, we've said 10 million times. We have the greatest listeners in the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity to, you know, get up close and personal and, you know, actually, you know, talk with people and learn about them. And, you know, sometimes I kiss them.
Oh, wow.
If I really like them.
We want people to sign up, remember?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, come anyway. yeah, so it'll be fun. You know, there's nothing more fun. This is my experience. How many years have I known you now? 30, 40, 50,
me?
Year, 50 years?
Me? Okay, this month. This month is makes it 44.
Oh, get out. Is this our
44
anniversary?
44 years, yes.
How about that?
44 years. Something like last week, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you and I are going on 25, Dean, because when I started working at GN the first time around was 1999.
Yeah, you were a little sports
I was a little fill-in back then, yeah.
Sports fill-in guy once in a while. Boy, where did the years go?
Too fast.
Right? I was thinking about this the other day.
Good night, Irene.
Good night.
Well played.
You know, Steve Bertrand just celebrated his 40th.
40th year here, yes.
You know, congratulations. I congratulated him privately because I think that he and I may be the number one and two seniority guys now on WGN, which I can't even believe. It just seems like the blink of an eye that I was this new guy coming from an FM station that was, you know, somewhat revolutionary at the time. But
you and I crossed paths there also.
Well, we did that, but I think even before that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was WCFL,
yep,
right?
Yep, right. That is correct. So this is the third station I've had to work with you, Woodrow.
Yep. We're taking them down like crazy. Yeah. But let me just tell you folks who are going to, you know, how do you win tickets to this?
Yeah, you've got to, I think that would help.
Yeah. You can join us for this epic evening by going to WGNradio.com/contest. You fill out the entry, and then we're going to pick today, I think, is the final day that you can enter. So you got to enter by tonight at midnight, WGNradio.com/contest. We'll pick 10 winners, and each of those 10 winners will get a pair of tickets to come to the show. Or, if you want, you can, you know, we're going to be there on Friday, June 27th for the evening performance. You know, if you want to buy some tickets just to hang out with us, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Because let me tell you something, and Andy, you can back me up on this. There's nothing more fun than getting a couple of cocktails into Shawnee.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. He becomes his alter ego.
Yeah. He starts ripping off that I voted sticker off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I should bring
and
that.
Off and on and
I should
off.
Bring that.
We're in that members only jacket.
I should bring that.
We should.
The I voted. You want the Harry Truman one?
Can you bring some 45 RPM records?
Oh,
too?
I'd be
and
delighted.
Walkman.
I don't have any Patsy Cline 45s.
Didn't you have a Walkman that you brought in?
I can bring the Walkman. I can bring in my first wireless cordless phone from about 1981 with the big antenna on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be bring all that. We can have show and tell during the reception.
It's
going to
be quite the treat out on Oak Brook Terrace that night.
I can bring in my Sears Silver Tone turntable.
I think we may have to arrange for Andy, Molina, and I to drive in one car.
Yes.
And you go in another one.
You can be in the sidecar.
You can be in the sidecar. 630 area code. I love you guys. Is there a way to buy tickets for that performance? Yes, there is. You can go to... A real professional broadcaster would have had that handy.
Yes, they would have.
Not here on the Woodrow Richard show. DruryLaneTheater.com. DruryLaneTheater.com.
And make sure that you do
27th.
Make sure that you do get to the proper website, because these days when you type in show names or theater names, you can get onto a website and not know it and end up buying tickets for far, far, far more money than you should pay. And I learned that the hard way.
You mean like a ticket broker?
Right, like
secondary markets.
Reseller or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to just click on the link because it you know, that's what you're looking for and that's what you want. And then all of a sudden you're taken to a site where they're charging four times.
Right, yeah.
The amount that the tickets are actually being sold for at the given theater. Right?
Those companies actually buy ad space on those search engines, and then usually come up first, second, and third.
They do, and that's why I'm saying be extra careful.
So yeah, it's very confusing. Make sure you go to you want to go to the Drury Lane website.
Exactly.
Drury Lane Theater, theatre, .com.
Oh, it's the British spelling.
It's the British spelling of theatre. DruryLaneTheater.com. And so if you want to try to win tickets, WGNRadio.com/contests. But if you just want to be there that night for the festivities, you can go to the Drury Lane website. We're going to be there on the 27th?
Is that the 27th, yes.
Yep. Should be fun. And we'll be selling all the usual Dave Schwann merchandise.
Remember, Andy, when we came up a few years ago with the term Schwanny Mart?
Oh, yeah, Schwanny Mart.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff left over from when that Schwanny
Mart. The inventory from the Schwanny Mart.
When the Schwanny Mart went belly up, we have a lot of merchandise that came over from China. The Dave Schwann bobbleheads are still super popular. I'm so excited about this Patsy Cline show we're all going to go see. The Drury Lane Oak Brook. The show, by the way, is playing through August the 3rd. But our special Dean's Night Out featuring Andy Mazur and Dave Schwann also is going to be on June 27th. You know what I was thinking during the break? What would be really fun? If we all dressed up like cowboys.
Roy Rogers, the Lone Ranger.
I was thinking more for me, Jingles. Do you remember Jingles?
I kind of.
You don't.
No, Jingles.
Wasn't he the sidekick on Roy Rogers, Jingles?
Oh, yeah.
Andy Devine?
Yeah, right.
Actor Andy Devine?
Right. I was thinking of, what was it, Festus on Gunsmoke?
You and I are the only two people who remember
what
any
we're
of
talking about.
I remember the show. I don't much remember much about it.
Even people who like our obscure Andy Griffith references right now are going, what the hell are those two talking about? WGNRadio.com/contests. If you want to enter all that, Arnold Schwarzenegger is kicking off season two of his series, FUBAR. Had a really nice one-on-one, actually two-on-one, with Arnold and also actress Carrie Ann Moss. We'll share that with you coming right up. Hey. Speaking of a Mr. Surratt, I join him every weekday morning, 8 to 8:30, over most of the same station. We have some fun. We talk entertainment. One of these days, I'm going to get Bob to go to an actual musical. Musical play. He hates them. I'm going to make him go. I'm going to take him. Can't stand him. We have a lot of fun every weekday morning, 8 to 8:30. Hope you can join us for that. Otherwise, my mornings are spent on a little show we call the WGN-TV Morning News. Number one TV morning show in Chicago. This week, featuring my one-on-one interviews with Oscar winner Zoe Saldana and former 007 star Pierce Brosnan this week. Former Everybody Loves Raymond star Brad Garrett. And also the guest that we bring you right now, the great Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carrie Ann Moss. They are co-starring in a brand new series, which dropped this week on streaming, called FUBAR. FUBAR Season 2. Arnold Schwarzenegger back in action mode again. And this time, very interestingly, paired up with Carrie Ann Moss, who you know as Trinity from the Matrix movies. So it's a very interesting pairing that these two are together. And when I talked with them on a nice little Zoom call the other day, we talked about the series, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is hilarious. We talked about not only the series, but Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, Patrick Schwarzenegger. If you've been watching White Lotus, you know that he is one of the breakout stars of that series. And he had a few things to say about that as well. But on the subject of these two action stars getting together on FUBAR 2, FUBAR Season 2, this is what they had to say. Talk to me a little bit about you two getting together for this. This is, you know, a bit of a legendary coupling. Carrie Ann, what do you think?
Oh, I feel so lucky that I got to be a part of FUBAR Season 2 and that I got to work with Arnold and get to know him, become, you know, friends and just have all these incredibly juicy moments on screen together and just to go toe-to-toe and, the scenes that were written for us were just delicious to play. They were so fun, so outrageous at times. My opening moment of the character, the reveal of Greta, you know, walking up to Arnold and smacking his behind was when I read it on the page.
It was not smacking. There was no smacking. Okay, let's just get the record straight. She grabbed it.
She grabbed my ass.
That's how the first scene started.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say it the way it is.
Yeah, so that, you know, reading that on the page and then actually executing it, it was so fun. It's just a totally fun experience.
Arnold, I heard her say, I describe you as juicy and... what was it? Delicious something. Clearly it would have been a grab and not a smack with, you know, that kind of description. What was your experience like in working with her?
Well, I mean, it was really fun. I have to tell you that at the first take that we did, I broke out laughing. Because I was supposed to be kind of like in shock and look at her kind of like, where did you come from? You know, in my mind, that's going on, kind of, where you come from? I thought you're dead, you know, and all of a sudden I see her in front of me, so I'm supposed to act out that, then all of a sudden she comes to me and she grabs my ass. I had to kind of like, I didn't expect that. I mean, I broke out laughing.
And we've
got
the director going, because the camera was there, was behind you, and it's like your jacket, and I mean, it's... It could be uncomfortable, but it was so much fun. And
and the director, of course, screamed right away. Because they're always under pressure, right? They only can take like 3 takes in TV, not like 10 takes, because there's not that much time. So he said, this was perfect. The geography was perfect. The camera position was perfect. The lighting, the action was perfect. He says, Arnold, why did you laugh? I said, I couldn't help myself. I said, so anyway, we just did it another time, and then it was perfect.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Arnold, it's like you can't open a newspaper or a magazine or a website without seeing your son, Patrick, featured, you know, someplace on there. He is the hottest thing in America right now. I wonder what kind of advice did you give him going into all of this?
I can take absolutely no credit for that. I mean, Patrick worked his way up, and he was just really interested in acting. The only credit I can take is that I took my kids always to the set. So when I was filming, especially in town, they came to the set. They sat in my motorhome. They were doing their homework in the afternoon there. I had them picked up from the school to come there with their friends. Then they sat there in my motorhome and did their homework and everything like that, did their studying. And then when I went inside the soundstage, then they came with me and they watched me blow up some buildings or blowing up some people or something like that. And then they went back again and did their homework. So I think that he got inspired when he watched that and wanted to also do the same thing. And I think it had also something to do with that how much they hated when I became governor, because they immediately kind of rebelled and they said to me, says, Dad, why did you do that? I mean, you ruined the entire family. I mean, it's like we have to go up there now to Sacramento and sit around a bunch of idiots with their suits on. I mean, this is not fun. I mean, it was much more fun on a movie set than all this. Aww. So they were really depressed over this whole thing. So I think that had something to do with that. Patrick says, well, I'm going to go and get in the movie business myself if this is the ongoing career that my dad loves.
Yeah, if you won't take me to the fun, I'll make my own fun, I guess. Exactly. Is what they're saying. Yeah,
yeah. Patrick Schwarzenegger enjoying a huge burst of popularity as a result of his rather revealing role, I guess you might say, on White Lotus this past season. But you can see Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carrie-Anne Moss, and more in season 2 of FUBAR, which just dropped on Netflix this week. And as always, we've got the full list of what is new that is streaming this week in home video. We post it all up for you, WGNradio.com and also WGNTV.com. We've got all of that waiting for you. As far as the new movies this week, I gave a pretty good review to How to Train Your Dragon. This is the new live-action adaptation of the animated movie from 15 years ago. There have been 3 animated How to Train Your Dragon movies. Now they've done a live-action adaptation of it. Got to, you know, be perfectly honest, I was not looking forward to seeing this going in, because almost all of the live-action adaptations have been disappointing, really kind of flat. Not very multidimensional, but I think they finally figured out how to do these kinds of movies. Universal Pictures and DreamWorks Animation have put this together, and it's a hybrid of live action, real live actors, including the great Gerard Butler, Nick Frost, who I love from the Shaun of the Dead movies and many others. He's going to be in the new Harry Potter series. Some young actors, Nico Parker and Mason Thames, playing the two primary young performers who actually, you know, fight the dragons and befriend the dragons and train the dragons. It really works this time. It's a seamless blending, and it's so exciting. I mean, at times this movie is almost Game of Thrones-like. When I was watching it, I wondered if there was too much action in it, that it might scare, you know, little kids going to see this. It's rated PG, so, you know, they feel it's appropriate for, you know, most ages. But and I guess I do too, but I was very engaged in the story. I was very impressed with the acting, the cinematography. The visuals in this movie are absolutely gorgeous. So I am recommending How to Train Your Dragon, the new version. It's going definitely will be the number one movie at the box office this weekend. At the moment, it is at $83.7 million in box office take, way ahead of everything else. So it will, when all the counting's done, as they say at the end of the day, It will definitely be the number one movie. Lilo and Stitch comes in the number two spot. After that, it's Materialists. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, is hanging in there in the number four spot. And then after that, from the world of John Wick, Ballerina, the number five movie of the weekend. Karate Kid is in the top 10. Final Destination, The Phoenician Scheme, the Wes Anderson movie, The Life of Chuck, and also Sinners hanging on in there in the number 10 spot for movies for the weekend. All right, so there you go with that. 11:48 is the time, and this is Dean Richards Sunday Morning. Dean Richards Sunday Morning Show. Man, oh man, I love Sundays like this. Beautiful sunshine outside, good feeling everywhere. The city is just alive with street fairs, the Midsummer Fest going on in Andersonville, Humboldt Park Puerto Rican Fest going on all day long today. What else is going on? Oh, there's the Well Street and Old Town art fairs are going on this weekend. It's a great weekend in Chicago. Boy, I mean, with, so much going on, we need some relief from that horrible shooting, the assassination, really, of the Minnesota politicians that took place yesterday morning, for which they are, still searching for the perpetrator of that, with, the marches, the protests that took place. All over the country, thousands of marches that took place. But, I got to say, I mean, I didn't go to the march, but I watched the coverage of it. I've never seen so many people in the street in Chicago. Something to see. People, being Americans, expressing their opinions. And
only one report of real violence. Apparently, someone got excited around a police officer and threw a punch.
Yeah.
And, of course, they were immediately arrested.
Yeah, that's never good. But, I mean, if you think about, not that it justifies it in any way, but from what I've read, tens of thousands of people were in downtown Chicago yesterday.
Yes, exactly.
And for only one incident to happen is, that's not too bad.
Well, I have a hard time, once or twice seeing as many police officers as I saw on Michigan Avenue yesterday as I was leaving here.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they were, kudos Chicago Police Department. They handled it. They let people express their opinions. The crowd, for the vast majority of the crowd, vast, very peaceful and just wanting to express their opinions, as we are allowed to do as Americans, as it's our sort of our responsibility. Whatever your point of view, that's what makes America great. So. Good that it all went on and, relatively incident-free. I was in my house eating a sandwich at that time. I expressed my responsibility as an American by eating a ham sandwich. I was so tired yesterday. I don't know why.
You had an exerting week at TV?
Not especially.
Okay.
Just some days you're tired.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a sign of getting older.
Yeah, that could be. Could be.
You notice how I emphasized older.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I heard you.
Okay.
I heard you.
All right.
Did I actually invite him to come to the appearance in Oak Brook?
I think you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Going to be a long...
Am I being unfriended now?
Long drive out to Oak Brook Terrace.
Am I being unfriended?
No.
He's going to get an invitation.
An invitation.
No. Hey, made me really sad this week? The death of Brian Wilson.
Yes. 82, I think.
Yeah. Earlier in the week, Sly Stone, Sly and the Family Stone passed away, also 82 years old, by the way. That made me sad because that's really, you know, I used to hear this expression and think that it was trite. But the more, I guess the older I get, the more I think it's true that these guys, you know, these performers provided the soundtrack of our youth. You know what I mean?
It's true.
These are the songs that were playing while we were growing up. And
for us, it was the Beach Boys, Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, you hear these songs and you sort of remember what you were doing. You know, what you were doing at that point in your life, whatever, when these songs were popular. And, you know, I was a big Sly and the Family Stone fan. You know, the Hot Fun in the Summertime, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself. I could go on and on. And same with the Beach Boys. The various incarnations of the Beach Boys, from the early car songs and surf songs and beach songs to the more quasi-psychedelic sounds with Good Vibrations and such.
That was a great song.
That's a genius song. That's a genius piece.
That is a great song.
Music right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was very sad because Brian Wilson, I interviewed him one time, and it's when his health had really kind of taken a turn for the worse. And the interview was, he was paired up with John Cusack. They did that movie, Love and Mercy, in which John Cusack played him in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cusack did all the heavy lifting in the interview, really. Brian Wilson didn't have much to say and really clearly was not in the best of health. But that man represented, talk about somebody who represented the soundtrack of our youth. That was Brian Wilson.
And especially the sound of, you know, visualizing, you know, representing in sound the surf scene in Southern California.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, which what did we know about that?
Living in the Midwest.
Yeah. Here in Indiana, I'm by the steel mill in south side of Chicago. What do I know about surf sub? Except when the alewives were coming in. That's the only thing that I remember.
You know what I thought about when the news came about Sly and the Family Stone was how you wanted to go to that concert that turned into a very tense moment in Grant Park.
It was a riot.
It was a riot there, and I think you said your dad didn't let you go.
He was driving me downtown, and that we were listening to Howard Miller on WGN describing the mayhem that was going on. He turned that big old Chevy around, and we went
right... You're not going there.
Right back to the south side. Come on, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself. We are going right back home. Somebody marked this calendar day down because I'm enjoying the weather today. I figure I got 2-3 more hours before I start complaining about how hot it is.
You know, when I start to think about complaining about how hot it is, I stop myself and say, don't do it. Because it's going to be cooler and cold and dreary sooner than you think.
You know what I always say is that you don't have to shovel hot.
This is true.
That's true.
You just have to pour yourself out of the outside.
Yeah. All I got to do is stay hydrated for a few months.
Yes. Good point.
That's all that matters.
So,
Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, getting interesting. Florida had a big win last night in Edmonton. Took it to the Oilers, actually 5-2. So the Panthers are now up 3-2, and they have a chance to close it out to win back-to-back Stanley Cups. Tuesday night, we'll have the game here on WGN. We've had the whole series starting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday.
Very exciting.
Yeah. It does make me long, though, for the days where we had a vested interest in what was going on.
Oh, my gosh. I was just going to say that. All of the talk about this, I can only imagine how excited these fans are.
Oh, crazy.
Can you remember how we all
were? Yeah. I remember,
you know, the Blackhawks were back, you know, in contention.
Yep.
You know, from the Bobby Hull, Stan Mikita days, you know, the olden days.
Yep.
And how exciting and how absolutely, like, crazy everybody went when they finally won in how many years in a row?
It was, they won in 2010, 2013, and 2015.
Yeah.
And it was funny, I was filling in on the afternoon show on Friday, and our Sports Click question was, which of those three were your favorite? And 2010 won by a narrow margin over 2013. I think obviously because the 2010 situation erased 49 years of a drought.
Right.
I think we were starting to get an idea of what this team was actually all about in 2013 when they scored two goals in 17 seconds to win in Game 6 in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And then in Game 6 in 2015, they actually clinched it at home. It was the first of the only of the three that they won at home. So it was very interesting. Yeah,
those were super exciting days.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting watching the games, and you know, there's some recognizable names if you're a hardcore Blackhawks fan on both sides of this situation here. With Edmonton has Corey Perry, who was a Blackhawk for about a minute. Matthias Janmark, who was playing pretty well for Edmonton, and you've got Seth Jones, who was traded this year to Florida by the Blackhawks, and Gustav Forsling, who was a young player by the Hawks back in 2020 and 2021, who was dealt. So there's some names, if you're a big Blackhawks fan, you can understand who they are, and I don't know who you're rooting for.
What about the superstars who were, you know, part of those championship teams for us?
Yeah.
Back then, are they all pretty much retired now?
Pretty much. You know, Patrick Kane's a free agent now. He played the last 2 years in Detroit. And the big news earlier this spring was that Jonathan Toews is ready to come back.
Right.
His agent is informing teams that he is looking to sign with someone during the upcoming season. But yeah, most of the guys have retired and moved on.
Corey
Crawford's no longer playing.
Retired?
He's retired. Yeah, he had some concussion issues that were that kind of derailed him toward the end of his career. You know,
those guys were amazing back then.
It was a really so fun exciting. Time to be a Blackhawks fan. It was really a fun time to be anywhere. I was in San Diego for the 2010 and 2013, and I might have been the only one walking around with San Diego with Blackhawks gear on because I was representing my club out there. And 2015 was the first time I actually was here with a bunch of my friends watching a game in a bar, game 6 in the bar. And it was crazy because if you remember correctly that day, I don't know how many people remember it, but there was a tornado warning just before that game.
Torrential rain.
And the rain came down in buckets.
Yep.
And I'll never forget, from my house where I lived at the time to the bar we were going to was about a mile and a half distance, and my Uber cost $60.
Oh, wow.
Because of the surge pricing with the fact that it was raining so hard.
Yeah, I remember that torrential rain and the crazy fans who were out dancing in the thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah. Craziness.
With, Stanley Cups that they'd made out of aluminum foil.
Yeah. I was walking home down, a friend of mine's house down in Ashland. And right there at the corner of Ashland and Addison, that gigantic light pole, there were three guys hanging from the light pole. I'm like, all right, that looks like a lot of fun. Not
Schwanee.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Remember, Schwanee was busy setting garbage cans on fire.
No, that's a good point.
No. It was so
Well, yeah, we bring up the Blackhawks, too. They're getting ready to celebrate their 100th year. There's a lot of stuff planned for the Hawks this season. We'll have some things planned here on WGN Radio as well to honor the 100 years of Chicago Blackhawks hockey.
That is super fun.
Yeah.
Do you ever go to the old stadium, Schwanee?
You know, I have to admit,
never.
That was the one place. Oh,
that place
was
unbelievable.
Never been in, and I have a lifelong friend that went to Bulls and Blackhawks there, and said that it was just a marvel to behold, and the old organ.
Oh, my
was
goodness.
Just amazing in there.
You know, so speaking of fathers here on Father's Day, my dad made the mistake, and I'll explain why I say mistake, of taking me to my first Blackhawks game. I think it was 73 or 74, and his company had tickets in the front row of the first balcony.
Wow.
So right behind the net that the Blackhawks shot at twice.
Fun.
And the Blackhawks scored their first goal, and the horn sounding and the organs going off. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, crap, you're hooked now, aren't you? So I got to keep taking you back. That's the truth. I mean, that's the building I saw my very first Hawks game in.
Yeah, those are memories for Father's Day that can never be replaced. We got a special Father's Day food time coming up. A few minutes here. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. Funny, you're telling me that somebody was commenting to you about my TV
cooking. Good friend of mine watches the show all the time said that the kebabs that you made this past week were really, really, they really looked great.
Yeah, good. I'm glad your friend enjoyed it. And, we did some, I wanted to do something special for Father's Day. Not just burgers or, throw a steak on the grill or something like that. I think, it's certainly fine. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. But I wanted to do something a little different. So I came up with several different kebab recipes. Brat kebabs. Took some bratwurst and put them, cut them up, put them on skewers with some vegetables. What else? I had some veggie kebabs. I had some tuna and pineapple kebabs.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, that was mighty tasty. By far the most popular one that I made was bacon-wrapped Brussels sprout kebabs. Took the Brussels sprouts. I microwaved them. I think I might rethink that for the next time I make it. But I just did them in the microwave because I could get it done in a couple of minutes. So the Brussels sprouts were sort of par-cooked. Took those, wrapped them in half a slice of bacon, put them on the skewers over a low flame, and then the bacon crisps up, and all the tasty grease and everything from the bacon kind of drips into the Brussels sprouts, and that cooks up a little bit. I think next time I might roast the Brussels sprouts instead of microwaving them. You know what I mean? So they caramelize a little bit. I think that would have been a little tastier. It was very good. You wrap bacon around anything. It's pretty good. So we'll talk about some other kebab ideas coming up in just a little while. We were talking about Brian Wilson right before the news and what an influence he was on so many of us and how his music, truly like musical savant, right? Musical genius with some of the things that he wrote and created, in addition to all of the commercial success for the Beach Boys. But so many people stepped forward after he passed away, the news of his passing, and talked about what an influence he was. No less than Elton John stepped forward and said that Brian Wilson was one of the greatest inspirations to him as a songwriter. How about that?
Yeah.
From Elton John. Paul McCartney said that the song God Only Knows made him cry, that it was so profound and so deep. And it was Paul McCartney that actually inducted him into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, I think like 10 years ago, something like that.
That's not surprising. I read something where albums like Pet Sounds and Endless Summer came out, and the Beatles first heard them, and they took it very seriously. They had some real competition there.
Yeah, there was always that, that rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a Beach Boys person? Were you a Beatles person? I like both of them. I like the later Beach Boys sound earlier, more than, Surfing USA and Fun, 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 and I Get Around, the beach songs.
Songs like Good Vibrations, Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Stunning. Those songs.
Great songs.
Those songs were like worth
just great stunning. Songs.
Even Surfer Girl.
Surfer Girl is a beautiful song.
California Girls
is
brilliant. Help Me, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Those songs are brilliantly produced, brilliantly written. I can see why so many people felt so influenced by Brian Wilson and why they were so moved when he passed away. I found this recording from, let me see what year this was. This was 2014, October of 2014. The BBC put together a version of the song God Only Knows that includes in vocals. I'm going to play it for you in a second. So when I play it, see if you can pick out some of these performers. Elton John, Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters, Stevie Wonder, Chrissy Hynde, Brian May. The list goes on and on of formidable rock and rollers that are all contributing kind of almost in a We Are the World sort of way to this song that was made for charity, for a BBC charity of the song God Only Knows. And the song is stunningly beautiful. Listen to this all-star chorus, including Brian Wilson, by the way. He's also part of this. God Only Knows. Dave Grohl, Lord, Pharrell Williams, Sam Smith, Paloma Faith, Chris Martin, Stevie Wonder.
If I die tomorrow, I have only
Florence
one regret.
Welch, also Kylie Minogue, Chrissy Hynde, the group One Direction, Elton John, Brian May, the BBC Concert Orchestra, and the Tees Valley Youth Choir. There are many others, British performers who are included in there. But isn't that amazing?
That is very cool.
That was such a cool
version. Andy and I were picking, Andy and Ron and I were picking out different performers.
Yeah, some are a little more distinctive than others.
But no mistaking Stevie Wonder's harmonica in there either.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's the level of respect, you know, that other performers had for Brian Wilson to participate in that. It's on YouTube if you want to take a look at it. God Only Knows. Just look up BBC charity God Only Knows on YouTube. You'll be able to find it no problem. All right, pick your recipe. Would you prefer grilled fish tacos? Would you prefer Mexican street corn pasta? Or would you prefer pork shish kebab?
Boy, that's a hard one.
Street corn for me.
I'm going to go with the grilled fish tacos.
Show's over at 1:20.
Okay, what? Grilled fish tacos.
Boy, those are good. I'm going to be making that Mexican street corn on TV, by the way, Andy.
Nice.
Well, you said Mexican street corn pasta. You put pasta in it.
Pasta salad.
A pasta salad.
It's a pasta salad. It's a pasta salad.
That would be great. That corn?
Mexican street corn that I grill so it gets
a little burnt on the edge.
A little crispy, burnt a little bit. That goes in with the olive oil, of course. The corn, cut it off the cobs, that goes in. Some avocados go in. Some, red peppers, red bell peppers go in. Some green onions.
You can do anything you want with salads like
cilantro.
That. Yeah.
And then, basically, it's a little mayonnaise goes in. So it's not like an oil-based pasta salad. It's like Mexican street corn that it's got mayonnaise and spices, cumin, chili powder, you know, stuff like that in it. Did I lose you in there, Andy?
No, just with the avocado. But that's about it. Everything else is good.
When I make, I'm going to put the avocado last.
Okay, I can take that off.
Because I know not everybody likes it. Or maybe you could just put your own avocado. Whoever wants it can put their own avocado in. Yep. Or not put it in. The grilled fish tacos. I'm going to go. You like tilapia, Shwani?
Yes, when you put some additional spices in it. It is admittedly not my favorite fish, but I do like it, yeah. And so tilapia works very well with fish tacos.
It's a little bland by itself.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I do like salt and pepper. I do Italian seasoning sometimes.
Right, Italian seasonings will work with it, sure.
You know what I like is some Parmesan. I grate some Romano or Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
Because you can just pan fry it super quick. The cheese will simply melt. It won't burn. Or even on the grill, it's still fine. Some breadcrumbs. I'll put some breadcrumbs on.
Sure. Yeah. You need to liven it up a little bit.
Yeah. You got to perk it up a little bit. But the reason that I say the tilapia with this, because I want to put it in a tortilla shell.
Right. Right.
And it's nice and thin. But you can put any kind of, like, whitefish in there. Cod would be okay, but it's a little thick for a taco.
Mm-hmm.
I think tilapia really is kind of perfect
for that's the one that's normally used.
Cod or
tilapia for a fish taco.
For a fish taco.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that goes in there. Some avocado goes in. some green pepper, little sweet onion. The Vidalia onions are great right now.
Oh, those would be, yeah.
Those
yeah.
are like so good at this time of year, so good. All you know, and take some tortillas, throw them on the grill, brown them up a little bit. Good night, Irene.
It comes full circle.
Oh. That and many other recipes all coming up on the Food Time Show next. Let's get this Food Time on the road. Welcome in to Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program heard every Sunday at this time. Yes, indeed. Got some good recipes for you today. And looking forward to some from you as well. We were talking a little earlier. I did kebabs on the grill on my TV cooking segment this past Wednesday on the WGN-TV Morning News. As you may or may not know, every Wednesday morning, right about 9:35 or so, I do some cooking. We share some, I think, some pretty good recipes. Try to keep it, you know, somewhat simple. We try to keep it extremely delicious. And I think we've had some pretty good luck with that, with some recipes that we've done. We had huge positive reviews for some of the kebabs that I made this past week. Here's what's very interesting. I made some veggie kebabs that were, you know, onion, mushroom, zucchini, red bell pepper, green bell pepper. What else did I put on there? I think that was pretty much it. Marinated it in sort of an Italian vinaigrette, put it on the grill. It's delicious. Zero reaction to the healthy kebabs. It's so interesting. I specifically made them because I wanted to offer one, you know, healthy offering. And we got zero response, neither positive nor negative. The crew that, you know, normally gets to eat the food that I make every week, they had no interest in the healthy kebabs whatsoever. None whatsoever. Now, we move over to the brat kebabs that I made. We had some cheese bratwurst. You've seen them in the store. They sell them in all the stores. Now, regular bratwurst, you can get spicy. They have these cheese kebabs now that have little bits of grated cheese mixed in with the meat mixture, put into the casings and into the kebabs and into the bratwurst. And, of course, you can just, you know, grill them up like regular kebabs and throw them on a bun. But I wanted to do something a little bit different, so I cut the bratwurst, each bratwurst, into about four pieces, put them on skewers with pieces of onion, with some bell pepper, some green pepper, you know, variety. You can put it on with anything, but it was a really nice. Oh, and I put a barbecue sauce. I marinated it in sort of a barbecue sauce. I shouldn't say I marinated it, but because I put it on at the end. Barbecue sauce will burn up like crazy if you leave it on the grill too long. So I grilled it, and then right before I took it off, I put some barbecue sauce on. Absolutely delicious. Huge rave reviews from viewers, and you know, the crew went crazy for it. I made a tuna kebab, some fresh pieces of tuna that I put on skewers with a piece of Vidalia onion and pineapple. And that I did marinate in some teriyaki sauce and put it on the grill. Super delicious, super rave reviews. And that one went over very well. By far, the kebab that I got the most response to, since we did it on the show on Wednesday, was the bacon-wrapped Brussels sprout kebab, where we take a Brussels sprout, I par-cooked it, I microwaved it. I think I might, next time I might pre-roast them instead of microwaving them so they get a little crispy. Wrap them in a half a piece slice of bacon, and put them on a skewer, put them on the grill low and slow till the bacon crisps up. And let's see, for the, what did I put on that? No, I don't think I put anything on that. I don't think you need anything on that. With, you know, the bacon and the Brussels sprouts, they were unbelievably delicious. And I've had people, ever since Wednesday, I've had people emailing me, people, for better or for worse. Some reviews are good and some are not. Some people, you know, tell me I don't know what I'm doing. But for the most part, people, they try the recipes and comment on them. And fortunately, most of the time it's positive. But people have been trying this bacon wrap or Brussels sprout kebab all week and have been raving about them. So I'm super happy about that. You want to take a look at these recipes. If you want to see the videos of me cooking it and also the recipes, you can just go right to WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. And you can get the recipes, you can get the videos, you can get the past recipes. I've got somebody this morning that texted me from the 630 area code. Dean, I'm making your deviled eggs as we speak. It's my husband's favorite. I'm so happy. First of all, it's my mom's deviled egg recipe. That's where I stole it from. My mom used to make, you know, for any special occasion, she would make this, you know, deviled egg recipe. And they are simply, it's not just because it's my mom, but I'm telling you, these are the most delicious deviled eggs that you will ever have, I promise. And we have the recipe. I don't remember it right off the top of my head, all the individual ingredients. But the recipe is posted, and me making them posted, WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. So you can get all the recipes for, you know, for all those kind of things. If you've got ideas for things, you know, things you would like me to, you know, try to, you know, give a try, be happy to do it. You can send me an email or a text anytime. You can contact me on social media. And we definitely take suggestions for things. Like, for example, we're talking about this pasta that I'm going to make this coming Wednesday. I want to make, like, some nice, a nice cool pasta salad. For, you know, 4th of July weekend is coming up. You want to, you know, put something a little different out for, you know, picnics and barbecues and things that you may be having. And I love Mexican street corn. I could eat corn on the cob every single day. And I love Mexican street corn in particular. And I thought, you know, how can I incorporate this? There aren't too many more foods that scream summertime like grilled corn on the cob. Which I think is the only way to make corn on the cob, by the way. I've talked about this before. I think it's sacrilege to boil it or to – I know some people like to microwave it. You get that on the grill and you get some caramelization going with the sugars that are in the corn cob. It just intensifies the flavor and the taste like no other way possible. So I like to grill the corn. I cut it off the cobs. And, you know, sometimes I'll just have it as a side dish. It's a perfectly delicious side dish. But I was thinking, how can I incorporate this somehow into a pasta salad? And I did come up with a recipe that I will be sharing. Let me just pull it up here so I can... So I can, you know, like fully share this with you. Nothing more interesting than hearing somebody typing on the computer, on the radio. Yeah, it's, you know, sweet corn, which is, you can pretty much find some decent sweet corn anywhere right now. You chop up a red onion. You can use a red onion if you're looking more for the visual. It's a little more attractive. But I cannot eat enough sweet Vidalia onions right now. Those sweet onions, you could eat them like an apple as far as I'm concerned. They're so delicious. So anyway, chop up an onion, whatever kind that you happen to like. You know, that's fine. Take an avocado and cube up the avocado into small pieces. Take a can of black beans. All right? rinse them off, rinse all the gook off of the black beans, and you're just going to combine all of this together. The corn, the onion, the black beans, the avocado. Now, also, there is a cheese called cotija cheese. It's like a Mexican Parmesan. It's a little milder than Parmesan cheese. Grate that up and get about a cup's worth, and that's going to go into this mixture as well. I like to put cilantro in it. Not everyone's crazy about cilantro, I understand. You want to leave that out and maybe just put some parsley in for some color. That will work just fine as well. And some minced jalapeno, if you like things a little bit on the spicy side. All right, so you've got all these ingredients now, into which you will add about a half a cup of mayonnaise, about 3 or 4 tablespoons of fresh lime juice. I would try to use fresh lime if possible. It's much tastier than the bottle. You're going to throw a little chili powder in, a little cumin, a little paprika, a little bit of pepper. You can add salt to taste if you want to, but many of these other ingredients are a little on the salty side anyway, so you may not need it. So now you've got this dressing mixture that you've mixed in with the corn and the onion and the beans and the et cetera. Mix all that together, and then that is going to go into I use bow tie pasta. I like, for my pasta salads, I like to use unusual shapes for the pastas, ones that will retain the dressings that you put in. I mean, some, they just slip right off of the pasta, but some have their own little reservoirs built in. Bowtie pasta is one of those, and it's pretty to look at. A big bowl of bowtie pasta is pretty. All of this is just going to get mixed together. This could not be any easier. I mean, if this takes you more than a half an hour to put together, it's a miracle. This whole thing just comes together so quickly. So, you know, mix it all together and then cover it, put it in the fridge, at least a couple of hours. You want this nice and chilly because, remember, you've got the mayonnaise in there too. So this is not something you can leave out on a summer's table for a couple of hours because it does contain mayonnaise. But get it nice and chilled before you serve this. I guarantee you that your guests will absolutely love it. I'm going to make it on TV on Wednesday. So you'll see me, you know, going through the motions with all this. But I'll also put the full recipe up there with the proportions and all that sort of thing. It'll be easy for you to follow. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have some more summertime recipes to share with you. Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show.